this Sunday to John chapter 10. John chapter 10 in your Bible. We looked at I Am the Good Shepherd, and that whole chapter deals with the shepherdhood of Jesus, and we are the sheep and the hirelings and the great spiritual truths that are there. But right in the middle of that chapter is another I Am that Jesus incorporated into what we studied last week, and that is, I am the door. So if you'll look with me, John chapter 10, verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7. Then Jesus unto them, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Notice the future tense there. And shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, the background on the shepherd and the sheep we looked at last week, but George Lamza says this. There are two kinds of sheepfolds. One is a large square building covered with beams and branches and trees and a layer of straw and earth on the roof. And it's used during the wintertime for the sheep. In the spring, summer, and autumn, the sheep of the whole town are kept in a large square fold without a roof. There are walls around the fold to protect the sheep from the wolves, bears, and thieves, and to keep them from going astray. This enclosure has a single entrance, similar to the winter fold, but it does not have a door or a gate. After the sheep are brought in for the night, the shepherd sleeps across the entrance so that he could be awakened by the approach of a thief or a wild animal. No one is allowed to enter this fold except the owners of the sheep. Then he makes this comment. Jesus used this allegory as an illustration of himself as the door of the sheep. He meant he was the protector and guardian of the Jewish people in particular and of all other people in general. No man could enter his fold without his knowledge, and no man could live in security and peace without his guardianship. The same story, G. Campbell Morgan, the great congregational preacher, was in the Holy Land, and he was looking at a sheepfold, and there was no door, no gate. And he asked the shepherd, "Where's the door?" And the shepherd said, "I am the door. I lay across the opening. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out unless I let it." And so Jesus is saying, I am the door, or modern translations say, I am the gate, same word. But it's a metaphor. It implies a higher meaning. First of all, when Jesus says, I am the gate, I am the door, it implies access to God. Access to God is through Jesus. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access to God the Father. The shepherd leads the sheep from one place to another. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Access to God leads you from one place to another. The gate, the door, is the entrance to somewhere else. John 5:24, Jesus said, whoso heareth my words and believeth on the Father that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life, one place to another. Colossians 1:13, we are delivered, Jesus, who delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, it's also a way of worship and communion. How do we worship God? How do we commune with God? It's always through Jesus. He is the door. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto God the Father. Now the door is closed for protection, and nobody can open that door except God. Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I was thinking about doors in the Bible. You know, when all the animals and all of Noah's family were in the ark, God closed the door. And when God closed the door, nobody else got in. God has Jesus as the door. Nobody gets in but that one doorway. Only one way in, only one way out. There's no access by human effort. You can't break down God's door. You can't force your way into God's door. You can't buy your way into God's door. It is God's door, Jesus, and you have to have a relationship with him. You have to do the doorkeeper, the gatekeeper. You can't do it by wisdom. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't do it by philosophy. Oh, I believe this, or oh, I believe that, or, you know, I'm happy for what you believe. The only thing that counts is believing in Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, you may knock at 1,000 doors. You may cry and pray and groan and agonize and sweat, even to drops of blood. But there's only one door to heaven, and that door is faith in Jesus Christ. If you will not enter by that door, God himself will not open another door. There's only one door. So there's the metaphor. I am the door. Now, I did get trapped one time. I'm not as smart as I look. That comes as no surprise to those of you that know me. But, silly me. Someone walked up and said, do you believe the Bible is literally true? And I just jumped right on that. Yes, I do. And said, well, Jesus said he was the door. Does that mean he was made out of wood? No. So I don't take the Bible literally. I take the Bible plainly. Where it is a plain statement, I believe it. Where it is plain history, I believe it. Where it is plain symbolism, I take the symbol. We take the Bible plainly as the word of God because it's true. Those are the metaphors. What about the mandate? He is the only way. He's the only Savior. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. 1 John 5:11. And this is the confidence that we have eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. He is the only Savior. He's the only mediator. We need a mediator between us and God. We cannot go into God's presence as sinners. We need to be able to put on his righteousness. It is God that justifieth. It is God that saveth, the Bible says. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 John 2:1, little children, I run unto you that you sin not. But if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. There was a man that went to a church, and the church had beautiful music and beautiful rituals, and it was a beautiful, gorgeous sanctuary, and they had lofty worship services to God, but it was all religion. And this is what he said. I am thankful to God that he has provided one door into his presence. I rejoice to be free of the many doorkeepers I formerly had along the way of life until I found the door, and the door is Jesus. So you have the metaphor, you have the mandate, he is the only way. You have the mooring. You dock a boat, you tie it up, you moor it, it doesn't go anywhere, hopefully, all right? What are we anchored to? First of all, the door is a person. It is Jesus Christ. We don't have a religion, we have a relationship. It's with Jesus Christ. I don't belong to a religion. I am not religious. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. So the door is a person. The door is protection. He will protect us. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall protect your soul. He shall protect thy going out and thy going in from this time forth, both now and forevermore. Psalm 121. The door has a purpose. Jesus said, I am the door. He that comes to me, I will find you pasture. I will find you rest. I will find you the door's provision. I got a bunch of P's here, all right? Spiritual nourishment, spiritual refreshment. Jesus said, I am the door. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou leadest me beside the still waters. Thou restorest my soul. It is the door to peace with God. Again, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have pardon. Ephesians 1:7 says, to whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And we have power. We have the power to do the right thing. We have the power to stand for the right things. We have the power to call on God for help. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Now, the mooring is a person, the door, Jesus. What's the meaning? I've got verse 9 on two pages. I am the door. By me, if any man will enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What does God say and mean when it says, if any man believe in me, he shall be saved? First of all, God is the sovereign God. God chooses those who choose him. I remember Spurgeon praying one time, God save the elect and then elect some more. God chooses us, and he knows that we are going to choose him. And if you don't understand that, I'm a Molinist. So I'll explain that to you later, okay? Makes sense to me. Do we freely choose? Yes. Is God totally in control? Yes, he is. It's two paradoxes. They're equally true in the Bible. We live between the two. But God is in control. And if he is in control, then if he saves us, he can hold on to us. Spiritual sovereignty, spiritual security. 1 Peter 1:5, it says we are kept by the power of God unto salvation. Now, if I were doing the keeping of me, I would really mess it up sometimes. I'd have been lost 50, 60, 80 times by now. I did meet a man in jail one time, said he'd been saved six times. And then he sinned and he lost it. Then he had to get rebaptized and get it again. Man, you know, I'm sorry, Jesus says, no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. We are kept by the power of God unto salvation. God does the keeping. If we did the keeping, all of us would be in trouble. Spiritual salvation, it is on the spiritual level. It's not believing with your head. It's being born again in your heart. It is a spiritual thing. And you know the old story about the people that miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between their head and their heart. They know all the right answers, and they know the answers out of the Bible, and they go to church, and they sit in a pew, and they've been dunked in the water, and they think they have fire insurance, and yet they've never had a spiritual birth in their heart. That's how they miss heaven by 18 inches. It is a spiritual rebirth. We must be born again. So it's a spiritual sovereignty. It is a spiritual security. It is a spiritual salvation, the new birth. It is a spiritual sustaining. God keeps us. Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It is a spiritual sanctity. Sanctification, getting better and better. 1 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God's plan that we don't stay the same. I hope you're different from where you were 10 years ago. I hope you're a different person from when you were 20. And I hope you're a better person because Jesus is in your life. The purpose is to grow and grow and grow. The Bible says we go from glory to glory as we are changed into his image. We, beholding in a glass the image of the Lord, are changed into his likeness from glory to glory. That's somewhere in Corinthians. Now, if I knew where it was, I'd tell you, but you know how it is. It's somewhere in the Bible, okay? Do you have to know everything to be up here? No, you don't, okay? I tell my students in class, how much do I have to know to teach you in class? Just a little bit more than you know, right? Because over at Polk State, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king, okay? Spiritual security, we talked about that. It is the only door. It is a basic truth. In 1906, normally I ask you, how many of you remember the date? But nobody here remembers 1906, all right? Jesse Pounds wrote, "I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss." Jesus is the door. I was reading a book this week by V. Raymond Edmonds. He was the president of Wheaton College, but there's a little poem called "Who is Jesus?" The Creator became a carpenter. The Son of God became the Son of Man. The second person of the triune God became the seed of the woman. The Sovereign became a subject. The Most High became the lowliest of men. The Heir of Heaven became a homeless herald. The Prince of Peace became a preacher in poverty. The Jehovah of the Old Covenant became the Jesus of the New Covenant. The Judge of all the earth became a Jew. Emmanuel, God with us. It's Jesus, and he is the door. One of the most famous pictures of Jesus at a door was painted by Coleman Hunt. Jesus is there. The door is there. Jesus has this big round thing on his head. I never understood those big round things on the head of Jesus. I'm glad we don't have to wear them. all right. But he's knocking on the door. And Coleman Hunt, before he displayed it publicly, he asked an art critic to come in and look at it. And he said, "It's a very good painting, but you made one mistake. There's no latch on the outside of the door." And Coleman Hunt said, "No, that's no mistake. True story." He said, Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him." He says, "That's no mistake. The only door, the only latch on the door to your heart is on the inside. Jesus can't reach the latch and open the door and come in. The latch is on the inside of your heart. You have to reach out and open the door, and then Jesus can come in." And if you look at that painting today, there's no latch on the door in that painting, because we're the ones that have to open the door of our heart. Jesus is the door. He's always been the door. He's always going to be the door. He is the only door. And people want to criticize it. People want to fight it. People want to kick it. People want to deny it. But I'm sorry, that's just the way the Bible says it is. "Whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved." That's what God says. And so if you've never done that today, we always get